Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Hayes, and today we have a very special guest with us. We're diving deep into the heart of radio history as we celebrate the 50th birthday of one of the most iconic radio stations in the UK, Clyde One. Joining me is David Robertson, the content director for Clyde One, with decades of radio experience under his belt. David has played a pivotal role in shaping the station's identity and programming. Today, he'll be taking us on a fascinating journey through the station's rich history, sharing the behind-the-scenes stories and giving us a glimpse into the incredible celebrations planned for Clyde One's golden anniversary. Without further ado, let's dive in.
You are listening to engineering test transmissions in preparation for the start of independent local radio in Glasgow during the evening of December the 31st.
How Scottish will Radio Clyde be? We'll be not only Scottish, but entirely west of Scotland.
Happy New Year and good listening in 1974.
Oh, I, late December back in 73.
You're tuned to Radio Clyde. This is the voice of independent radio, serving Glasgow and west central Scotland.
It is our earnest prayer that God will richly bless the good ship Radio Clyde and all who travel with her.
I think Clyde maps the way that Scotland develops.
The first time I ever heard that the Wall of Rum Clyde, literally I did a run round of the room.
Glasgow King Tut's Radio Clyde. Let me see your hands. All
things she said. Welcome to the Billy Connolly Tam Ferry Show. For the best, tune into Clyde.
David Cooper then to take the free kick for Scotland. Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah! Hey, it's Calvin Harris. I just want to wish a very happy birthday to Clyde One.
This is Lewis Capaldi.
I want to wish Clyde One a happy 50th birthday. I was getting kind of used to being
someone. Hey everybody, it's us, the Jonas Brothers. Happy 50th birthday to Clyde One.
Hey, this is Taylor Swift. Happy birthday, Clyde One.
It's me, I'm the problem, it's me.
Tommy in the band remembers hearing Radio Clyde playing, wishing I was lucky when he was standing in a chip shop.
Party. Glasgow in the West, number one for 50 years. Clyde. Clyde One.
So, I'm going to take you back before we get into the anniversary stuff. Honestly, just like to hear about your career because you've been at Clyde One a long time. Did you want to be a presenter? Did you want to work in management?
So I totally fell into radio. I always listened. I always was a big Clyde One listener growing up. My first job was answering the phones. However, the way that I actually even got into answering the phones was that I won a competition. Clyde1.com, I won a skateboard. So it was a Red Hot Chili Pepper skateboard from the Stadium Arcadium Tour. And I entered a competition at Clyde1.com to enter it. And I came back from my holiday when I was 16 years old and had a missed phone call from somebody who worked here at the time, said, oh, would you like to, you've won it, would you like to come in and pick it up? I was like, oh, great, sounds good. So I went along and actually met Gavin Pearson, who produced that amazing piece of audio that you just heard about the 50 years, and met him my first day, we were just going down to pick up the skateboard. It just showed a bit of interest, really. Sort of started emailing Gavin and John McCallman, who was here at the time, who gave me the skateboard and ran that competition, got me in to do some phone shifts on the football show, answering the phones for Super Scoreboard, one day a week. At that time, I was still in sixth year at school, so it was my last, I was still at school, Monday to Friday, and I would come in here on a Saturday, answer the phones for Super Scoreboard, and then that quickly became, I actually just decided to leave class early on a Tuesday or whatever day of the week it was to come in here in my school tie to manage to answer the phones for some of the midweek Super Scoreboards as well. So it really all just started from there. I was only 16 and I just totally fell in love with it, and I've been here ever since. I've managed to work in pretty much every department over the years, and I've been the content director for the last 6 or 7 years.
And did you ever want to be behind the microphone, or was it always more the production and the management that kind of floated your boat?
Yeah, it never really bothered me, to be honest, like as to what, like about presenting. Like I always feel like, maybe listening to me now, you may agree, I don't really have the voice for it. Personally, when I listen to myself, I don't have the voice for it. So I think psychologically, I always thought, nah, that's not really my thing. So then I just never really like pursued it. and then actually just really enjoyed being a producer and working, you know, behind the scenes and stuff. So it was never really my goal to be on air, because probably from the very start, I never thought that I would sound good. So actually, I just went down the career path of being a producer and just loved doing that anyway.
I know you entered the competition, but were you a Clyde One listener? Were you a fanatic of the radio, or was it just a random competition that you entered?
Yeah, no, I wasn't some sort of prize pig who just entered every single competition. Like, I genuinely was a Clyde One listener. I grew up listening to George Bowie in the morning, who's still doing the breakfast show now. I was going to school listening to him. I used to listen to Super Scoreboard all the time at the weekends. I used to come home from school and listen to Gina McKee at drive time when I was doing my homework, or said that I was doing my homework and more likely just playing the PlayStation, but I had the radio on. So I was always a big Clyde One listener. I never listened to any other stations, to be honest, growing up. So that was all, it was always my station. So I was always a big Clyde One listener, and always, I don't actually remember entering a lot of competitions. Maybe I did at the time. I actually don't remember, but I don't think I ever phoned in. I think I was maybe too shy at 15 or 16.
So I've been lucky enough to have been to Clyde One. I spent some time there a few years ago with the Bauer Academy. And Gavin, when he emailed me the audio, said this is the audio from the best station in the world. Why do you think it's the best station in the world? What makes Clyde One so popular, so important to the community?
Yeah, there's loads of things that make the Clyde One successful as it is. The connection that we have as a radio station with the audience, I think, is unrivaled. I'm totally biased when I say this, but I'm sure it's better here than it is in any between any other radio station and any other city anywhere in the world. We have maintained 80% of our audience since the 90s, and I can't imagine there's many other media outlets anywhere that are going to be able to claim that you can maintain 80% of your audience 30 years on. You know, with digital media, everything's just become so diverse. You know, Clyde One is still, you know, has a massive, you know, reach right across Glasgow in the West. So I think that is so unique. In terms of, you know, what makes us, I think we are extremely fortunate that we have an amazing position where we've only had 3 breakfast show hosts in the entire history of Clyde One. George Bowie has been doing it for 27 years. Before him was Mike Riddick, and before him was Dave Marshall, who was the very first host of the Radio Clyde Breakfast Show. 3 in 50 years, I mean, that is unbelievable longevity. So we're in a very fortunate position that we've had that. Beyond that, we've got things like Super Scoreboard, which is our football show. It is incredibly unique in the sense that it's on every single night of the week. You know, Clyde One, a massive FM station, you know, 2 hours every single day, Monday to Friday, we stop playing music and it's a phone-in show. And on a Saturday afternoon, it's a live sports update along with the famous open line. We have an unbelievable connection to the people of Glasgow in the West through longevity of breakfast shows, through shows like Super Scoreboard that connect to the audience like no other. GBX is our weekend dance shows, hosted by George Bowie as well. That's been on air since the early 90s, trying to explain that to anybody who doesn't know what the GBX is, it's probably gonna be really hard, but it's like 90s influenced EDM, and we just have constant shout outs on the radio with people looking to get a mention on a Friday and Saturday night. You know, those are 3 examples. There's many, many other things. We've got unbelievable amount of talent here out with just those shows all the way throughout the day end and the evenings and the weekend. You just get this magical recipe, I think, of all those things. It's a huge audience and award winner.
So as a content director, is it either a blessing or a curse in the sense of it's so successful? Do you feel the pressure to go even higher and maintain that? Or is it relaxing because you're like, well, we're so good, I can just relax and it will happen anyway?
I wish it was as easy as just relaxing and just letting it happen anyway. No, there is pressure that we put on ourselves every single day and week to try and better, you know, what we've done. You know, we've had great recent success in both Rajar and awards, fortunately. You know, we don't take anything for granted here at all. There's a massive fight for audience everywhere you go, whether that's other radio stations or emerging media. Everything's fighting for people's time. So we are just one thing in this giant cog of media options that everybody has. So we are constantly looking for ways to, how can we get your attention? How can we keep you with us? How can we keep you listening longer? It's absolutely not an easy job. And the pressure that comes with it when you get great radar is to go, right, well, how can you get even better at it? Or when you win, you know, we've been incredibly fortunate to win the gold at the Arias for Station of the Year 2 years in a row and silver before that. You know, every single year it's like, Christ, how are we going to better last year? I would love to sit here in a year's time and say we've won 3 in a row. I have no idea if we'll be able to do it or not, but that is 100% the ambition. And everything we do is like, right, how can we win one extra listener, won one more award? How can we do this one extra thing that's going to beat the audience or get people's attention more than everything else or anything else out there? Yeah, you put the pressure on yourself, but it's great fun.
50 years, so you've reached that milestone. What are you doing to celebrate and how are you involving your listeners in that?
We have a load of things going on for the 50th. So this week we launched our celebrations on air. We got a lot of our breakfast listeners sharing some of their stories about what makes Clyde One special to them. And some of the stories have been ridiculous, including listeners remembering stories about them giving birth to the GBX on whilst asking for a shout out. We had a story recently talking about giving birth where a Super Scoreboard caller on a Tuesday night phoned in to complain about whatever the football story was of the day. He said, oh, wait, where are you? It's quite noisy. And he's like, oh, I'm just in the labour suite. My wife's in labour. We're like, you're phoning Super Scoreboard. What are you doing? And he's like, it's just fine. This is our third, so it's not a drama. We have people sharing stories like that, which is are amazing. Somebody got in touch yesterday saying that they got sent to Jamaica on a competition and ended up meeting Bob Marley's family. We've had people talking about some of the money that we've given away recently, about what they've spent that on, how it's changed their lives, holidays that we've sent people on, also just all the different times that people are telling us that they managed to get a shout out on various different shows or won a signed CD back in the day or turned up to a road show that was there over the years. People love telling, you know, if you've ever been to Glasgow, you'll know that people love talking and telling you about themselves. As soon as we asked for people's memories, we were just inundated with comments and stuff. So if you go on our socials, you will be entertained with some of the most ridiculous stories that you can find out there. On air, though, we're doing a few different things. So the next couple of weeks in the lead up to Christmas, every day we're playing an exclusive track that we've recorded by some massive artists that we've had here over the years. And we're running them out between Christmas and New Year, as well as at breakfast. So we've got live gigs with Noel Gallagher that was recorded a few years back, Stereophonics, Paolo Nutini, Amy McDonald, Texas, all these like library of gigs that we've recorded over the years, you know, get a chance to like use them for something and really celebrate now, you know, that have been sitting, you know, wiping the dust off some of these CDs or old reel-to-reels that are sitting there and get a chance to share them with all our listeners. So that's amazing. And then on Hugmanay, which is our actual anniversary, there's a 2-hour special on between midday and 2 p.m, which the amazing Gavin Pearson has worked so hard on. So you'll be able to listen to that. Clyde One, 12 till 2 on New Year's Eve. And I'm already really looking forward to hearing it because it sounds amazing.
You're probably going to have a list of 100, but is there any specific milestones or really memorable moments for the station over the last 50 years that you want to talk us through?
I will prefix this by saying I'm not quite old enough to have been here since the very start. I probably started listening to Clyde in the mid to late 90s. We launched in 1973, so I'll give you a quick potted history of some of the things that we've done throughout. So the station launched Hugmanay in 1973 at 10:30 p.m. It was the third local radio station to launch and the first outside of London after LBC and Capital, and people immediately fell in love with Radio Clyde back then. It wasn't pretentious or stuck up, which a lot of the BBC products were at the time that you could listen to, or the only other thing that you could listen to was a BBC station. It spoke to an everyday person in Glasgow in the West. We would relate to you if you have just finished a long day, probably back then at the shipyards, or you had, you know, you'd been in the house all day doing the housework or whatever. It was about speaking to these people who were just normal everyday people and not having the old BBC shirt and tie announcer style voice that was really prevalent back then. It was immediately successful, Radio Clyde. It was the first station to make a profit. Both Capital and LBC struggled at the very start financially, and Radio Clyde made a profit of £20,000 in its first year. So straight after that, loads of different things would have, you know, happened. One of the big things that, you know, probably changed the station's history was we launched Super Scoreboard in 1974, which is the football show, as I mentioned. Local football commentary and the very first open line where people could call in to have their say after the game. You know, totally revolutionary at the time. Richard Park, Jimmy Sanderson, these guys hosting the show, you know, totally, you know, legendary in this area. And it was very, you know, totally groundbreaking. And you see loads of different places now having that format and it was pioneered back here in Radio Clyde in the early 70s. You know, having your say at the football list, you know, having that on the radio in a non-BBC style was totally, totally revolutionary. In the 80s, we launched Cash for Kids. Now, that is now Bauer Media's UK charity, but it started here at Radio Clyde. It initially started as an annual eight-week campaign throughout November and December, which is now known as Mission Christmas. Back then, it was just Cash for Kids, and it was just at Christmas. And it was set up to help children in Glasgow and the West with disabilities and people who are in poverty have a better Christmas. And so it was so successful all throughout the years and a huge part of my life working at the station. And it's now been extended right across the UK and is Bauer Media's UK charity partner, including all the audio brands as well as the magazines. So, you know, now a massive charity across the whole UK started here at Radio Clyde. So into the 90s, you know, we needed to cater for a wider demographic. So what we did was it was just Radio Clyde up until the early 90s. And then Radio Clyde was split into two. We became Clyde 1 and Clyde 2. Clyde 1 on 102.5 FM was top 40 in songs from the last 20 years. And on Clyde 2 on 11:52 a.m. was a range of music a bit wider. Back then was a range of music from the 50s through to the early 80s. So we became Clyde 1 and Clyde 2. And that was that. Through the 90s, saw the launch of our third breakfast show, as I mentioned earlier, and the one that we've still got on just now, which is Bowie at Breakfast, that was in 1997. So George has been doing it for 27 years and still market leader, and has been market leader for every year since then. So unbelievable achievement. I can't imagine there's many places that can match that longevity and success in the UK. Into the 2000s, you know, we've had some incredible moments as well as some awful moments that the news teams have had to cover. You know, throughout the 2000s, we had some really unfortunate things happen in this area. We had the Stock Lane plastics factory explosion in 2004, the Glasgow airport terrorist attack in 2007, and then the Clutha disaster, the bin lorry crash. These are horrendous moments for the city, but throughout the centre of it all was always us there reporting on it, reflecting on the mood of the city, and just being like, you know, everybody else, and not knowing necessarily at that time what the latest up-to-date information was, but doing our best with our news teams there to gather it and tell people as quickly as we could. So, you know, those for me, remembering some of those moments will stick with me forever, especially the Clutha helicopter disaster. I remember coming in late at night and doing a show right the way throughout the night for that, and you know, totally tragic story where people lost their lives, but that really affected the city. And but Clyde One was, you know, was there throughout all of it to be a friend, you know, for somebody who's listening and just wanted to know the latest information that you maybe just couldn't get anywhere else on the radio. But more recently, some massive amazing moments, you know, including Clyde One live gigs that we've done at the SEC and the Hydro in the last 10 years, and in the last couple of years winning gold for Station of the Year, the last 2 years running, and silver before that. I think I'll never forget those moments down at the ARIA Awards, not expecting either of them at all. So yeah, it's been an amazing 50 years. There are probably 100 other stories I could tell you there, and some that I've definitely missed out. Yeah, it's an amazing radio station, and it really does have an amazing connection to the audience in Glasgow.
Do you have any challenges? Because it's all so rosy. What would you say your challenges are? What are the things that keep you awake at night, if anything?
Well, it's maintaining audience, you know. As I said earlier, we don't rest on our laurels here. We are constantly in a battle with other radio stations and emerging media. You know, this year we launched relaunched Super Scoreboard as a visual product. So every night Super Scoreboard streams on YouTube, and our aim behind that is to target new audiences. So it's the hard to reach, the 15 to 24s who are on their phones. How can we reach those people that aren't listening to the radio as much as they once were? So we need to fill their TikTok feed or their Instagram reels with our content. So these are the things that keep me up at night. How are we going to be sitting here in another 50 years and still be market leader? I think that's, you know, there's huge pressure and a great challenge that comes with that. So for me, that is our big, it's not just us, that's an industry thing, is how do we maintain a level of connection with the younger audience. For me, that's what keeps me up at night, thinking, you know, we need to maintain this audience one way or another. And so far, so good. We have managed to maintain it, but you know, we don't sit still, and we've got to think, right, how are we keeping the person who's listened to the radio for ages listening a bit longer, but also the people that haven't listened in a while or haven't listened at all, how do we get them in?
So what's next? What's the next 50 years look like?
Next year, looking a bit further ahead, can't say too much about it just yet, but there may be a big gig at a Glasgow venue, which you just need to keep an eye out for. That's in the works for next year. Also, Scotland going to the Euros, which is our first away tournament since France 98. That is going to be massive for everyone in Scotland and in Glasgow. So there will be a huge Super Scoreboard presence over in Germany for that in June. So plans are underway to for that at the moment, to see what we can do from over there and back here to really really own that moment that is going to be massive. We're talking about over 100,000 Scotland fans going to Germany for these three games, so it's going to be incredible.
We normally get lots of advice on how people become producers or presenters, but I'll be honest, content directing is not often talked about or highlighted enough. Do you just want to give a day in a life, or if anyone's aspiring to do your kind of role, any kind of top skills or top experience that would really help them get there?
Yeah, in terms of like a day in the life is so varied. For me, a big part of it is always staying in contact and speaking with the on-air teams. You know, I speak to the breakfast show every single day. That's obviously the biggest part of any radio station, so you've got to be all across that. And then everyone else, I always try and speak to at least some point in the day, you know, find out what they've got going on, what can we work on. And then other shows we'll do listen backs with, I'll have meetings with the sales and promotions team, branded content, and go, right, well, they've got this client coming on board. How are we promoting that? What mechanic are we using? Right, we've also got this big gig giveaway coming up in a couple of weeks. How are we going to give that away? Do we need to get production made up for that? Does the team know about it? We've got a big text comp running. How are we managing that? You know, there's probably a million different things that go into the day of a life of a content director. But being across the on-air output is the biggest part, and always providing feedback and coaching and help and support for the on-air teams. That's always number one. And anyone looking to get into it, you know, maybe who's already a producer and is wanting to get, you know, maybe move into that next step of management. For me, whatever department you're in, if it's content or something else, my biggest bit of advice for you is to be across as much of the detail as you can. And I don't mean just in your department. I mean in every department. So, you know what the pressures are on the news department. What are the commercial targets this month? What's the marketing team doing this month? What branded content's coming up? What's the engineer saying to the outside broadcast that you want to do? You need to know it all, because then it will help you make informed decisions. As to the on-air output, it will help you build relationships across the business, and it'll help you make more informed decisions. So be across as much of the detail as you can, even if it's not in your department, even if, you know, the commercial side of it isn't what you want to do. You kind of need to be across the detail anyway, because at some point, something that they're doing is going to land on your desk, and the more you know about it is going to help you.
So just remind me, when's that special show that we all need to listen to?
So, yeah, the brilliant Gavin Pearson has made it, and it features voices of just about everybody who's been on Radio Clyde over the years. And it's at midday on Hogmanay. So that's the New Year's Eve for anybody out with Scotland. And that's midday till 2 p.m. for 2 hours. And it'll be available on Catch Up for 28 days after that.
And there you have it. A huge thank you to my incredible guest, David Robertson, and happy birthday to Clyde One. Don't forget to subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast if you haven't done already, so you don't miss the next episode. Until then, bye for now.